99% of precincts reporting. This is the Soft Tattooed Millionaires podcast. This is our fast reaction to the new U.S. soccer president election. So it's probably going to be a little bit sloppy and it's going to have a lot of details and all that kind of stuff, but we wanted to get something out as soon as possible. So if you're listening to this, you definitely know that Carlos Cordero has been elected the new U.S. soccer president. And there's been all sorts of rumors and things going on in the last 24 hours about blatant and open, about six change candidates forming an alliance together to try to collect enough votes to go against the two establishment candidates, quote unquote, the establishment candidates being Kathy Carter and Carlos Cordero, who ended up winning. But that obviously has not come to pass. And now we've got Carlos Cordero. So let's start with that. It makes most sense just to go through and understand who Carlos Cordero is, what his platform is, and kind of talk about the whole election cycle. So let's start off with Carlos Cordero. But before we get there, Jack, why don't you tell me a little bit about your gut reaction to this? What did you feel?
I think I'm confused. I don't know if I'm mad or not. And I am trying to be less angry in general, but especially in regards to soccer.
Yeah, so, good luck with that.
Yeah, I know. I am trying. I'm honestly trying, but I don't think I'm happy as I could be. I'm not as unhappy as I could be either. I think that's probably how 95% of the people are feeling. If I'm using Twitter as a way to gauge public reaction, it seems like most people are vaguely angry, but not nearly as angry as they could be if Kathy Carter would have won.
Yeah, I haven't actually been on Twitter for this. I was watching some actual soccer games this morning, just knowing that there's going to be chaos about this election. And I'm like, I'm just going to put that in a box and not even think about it. And then once my soccer games are over, I'll actually check in and see what happened. And so I was a little surprised to see Cordero. I really thought that Kathy Carter was going to get the votes, because the last I heard, the Athletes Council voted for, and I haven't read if there's a breakdown of who voted for everyone and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So we can maybe dig into that a little bit if we find that. But I was honestly not disappointed with Carlos Cordero. And
is it Cordero or Cordero?
That's a good question, because I think it's spelled like Cordero, but obviously,
yeah, I'm pretty sure it's just Cordero. But
So. Anyway, so Carlos Cordero was not, I was not disappointed with that. I thought he seemed like a very reasonable candidate, and I wasn't sure if he was getting kind of like a little poor treatment from the online soccer community because of his association with Sunil Gulati. When he announced his candidacy, the take was like, wait, what? He's announcing his candidacy? Because Sunil Gulati wasn't backing him. Sunil Gulati was backing Kathy Carter. And it was sort of, and for those of you who don't know, I'm assuming everybody does really know this, but, you know, Cordero was Sunil Gulati sort of like his right-hand man in a lot of things, and sort of one of the brains behind the finances and the sort of the operations of U.S. soccer. And so while he is an establishment candidate, his choice to run was actually seen as kind of going against Sunil Gulati to some degree. Yeah. Not that what goes against Sunil Gulati is automatically right or something like that, but it seemed that people were painting him a bit too much as an establishment candidate and not sort of treating him for his own merit. Because one of the things that struck me about him that made me warm to him early on was that he came out and immediately said that he wanted to have a technical department with a technical director, and that his thoughts about U.S. soccer were that it needed to kind of like expand, reorganize, and that he thought that his expertise was business and operations, and that the role of the president shouldn't necessarily bleed into technical development, and that you should have people who are good at that run that.
Yeah.
And that seemed like a very logical and also self-critical assessment from someone who's been inside the organization to say, basically, I mean, saying that is, that sounds kind of like obvious to people, and maybe that sounds like it's the sort of thing that is just like platitude. But for someone inside an organization to basically say, hey, we need an entirely new department for this, is actually like a really critical thing to say of a department. And if you, let's say you were coworkers and your coworkers like, hey, this isn't doing this, we need an entirely new thing. That's a really harsh assessment of your organization. But since he's from within it, I think he's couching it in more careful terms. So I think if with sort of fresh eyes, and if you didn't have all this baggage of criticizing Sunil Gulati, I think that many people would probably be a little bit warmer to Carlos Cordero as a sort of like an establishment but thoughtful, thorough candidate for U.S. soccer.
Yeah, and I want to quick add something to the technical committee. He also is going to set up a commercial committee, which is going to look at the contracts that the USSF has with its commercial partners, making sure that there are indeed no conflicts of interest. And I think both the technical committee and the commercial committee are two ideas that, if proposed by one of the quote-unquote real change candidates, like Martino or Ronaldo, I think people would have been very happy with them. But because Cordero sort of fits this cartoonish version of stooge, like he's a former Goldman Sachs executive, he is the right-hand man of Sunil Gulati. I mean, I'm not going to say I don't have reservations about this and I don't have fears, but when I look at actually what he says, I don't like the fact that he's only been in soccer for a decade. I don't like the fact that he admits to not knowing anything about soccer, but I'd much rather have him admit it and then delegate that responsibility than to lie. And so if what he says is true, if he's going to set up a technical committee, if he's going to appoint a GM who used to be a player for the U.S. men's national team, then great. And, you know, it sounds funny, but maybe the best candidate for that job would be someone like an Eric Winalda or a Kyle Martino, who have expressed interest in working in the governance of USSF. But now these are paid positions and they actually can take these jobs. So
feel free to keep running if you've got more. But one thing I kind of want to do is break down Carlos Cordero's platform kind of step by step. Mm-hmm. And recap that for people so we kind of know what at least what he's promised.
Yeah.
And I think it would be fun to look at this, see what he's promised, but then also talk about the kind of the initiatives that we've seen from other candidates that we hope people actually take up, even though, you know, Kyle Martino's X initiative, we hope someone keeps that going because that was a really good idea. Mm-hmm. So let's do those two things. So to start with, looking through Carlos Cordero's platform, there's basically three main ways he breaks it down. His sort of like operations recruitment side of it, which is his like refocusing on youth and development. Obviously, that's a buzzword. Obviously, that's just something that everyone is going to say. So how is he specifically going to do it? He promises scholarships for underserved communities. He promises an increase in adult soccer and support for adult soccer tournaments. And he also promises, he promises particularly like creating a new department that's all about membership. And so that's, again, really a very inside way of making changes to create a new group of people who are going to be in charge of something. Mm-hmm. More on that in a second. So his youth and development plan is to increase access to soccer by giving scholarships and also supporting adult soccer and helping support those tournaments and having sort of like task force or departments that are more directly in line with that.
Yeah.
The second, so go ahead.
No, continue. I'll wait.
So yeah, just to give the sort of quick summary of everything.
Yeah.
So that's his approach to youth soccer. His approach to the national teams, he wants more corporate sponsorships with regards to them. So more income coming from the national teams. Two, he wants more coaches, training facilities, and infrastructure for that. He wants to create a technical department, as we've already covered. He specifically called out more resources for the women's team. Worth noting, he whenever he talks about resources, he says, you know, the Paralympic team, the men's team, the women's team, all these other teams, but then he has a separate bullet point specifically for the women's team, not just to treat the equality in pay, but also the equality in playing, the surfaces, the artificial turf, all that kind of stuff. And the last bullet point for the national team that he repeats is the making bids for the men's and women's World Cups in 2026 and 2027. And the last sort of structure of his platform is his leadership, quote unquote, change, which is that he wants to see the presidential role as an independent president who oversees group decisions. So a president who basically has his experts in the technical department, his experts in membership, his experts in diversity inclusion, his experts in the athlete council or whatever, have these experts who are advising and make coming to group decisions, and then he's in charge of overseeing that. So to basically what he's doing is an entire restructuring of that, creating that technical department, creating that membership department, and creating and then having those people be more empowered to make decisions, and that he as a leader is more involved with making that work together. So this is a very, very corporate, very consensus kind of president. To me, I think that that makes a lot of sense. But I'm starting to get into analysis, and I've been talking for too long. So I'm going to put the brakes on there. So those are the three parts of his plan: more youth development, more resources for youth development, national teams with a separate technical department, and more resources for women, for the women's team, and leadership that's a more of an independent style president with more empowered departments underneath him.
Yeah, I think what I am most worried about is that the youth development didn't go far enough for me, and also if the technical committee that he appoints is just going to be a continuation, or the same people are going to have the same jobs going forward, they're clearly not doing a good enough job. You know, say the GM of the role of technical advisor, whatever he's going to call it, goes to Tab Ramos, I'm not happy about it. I want these positions to be filled by outsiders, because I am unhappy with the way things are run. I think most people are unhappy with the way things are, at least most fans, but certainly not the United States Soccer Federation voters. We're all pretty unhappy with the way things are going. But I don't think he addressed pay for play enough. I don't think he addressed, there was so much conversation about, like, the futsal courts, and whether that's a good idea or not, you know, I think it became an issue when two or three of these candidates, the real change candidates, whatever, started putting it on their platforms, saying that you're going to use scholarships as a way to increase participation. It doesn't make that much sense to me, because also scholarships are competitive. Also scholarships are only going to be given to a small percentage of the population that are actually playing soccer. So while it makes it slightly more inclusive, it doesn't actually make it inclusive as a whole.
Yeah, I think I agree that looking through his platform, I felt that's where he was weakest. And maybe he has some more specific ideas that we've missed. It's been, you know, it's been somewhat tricky to keep track of everything, because candidates are meeting in different venues for different audiences, talking about different issues, and what they say on their website may not be up to date. It may not be as thorough as different comments they've given at one of the different media opportunities they've had and all that kind of stuff. But that said, I totally agree. I think that the most work has to be done with regards to his youth development plan. And it seemed compared to other candidates, it was not as specific as it should have been. And scholarships, to your point, I mean, who wins scholarships to college? It's not just underserved kids. It's kids who know how to game the system. It's kids who know who have parents who are good at that sort of thing. And so it's while I'm all for scholarships, you're absolutely right that that's not like a cure-all that's necessarily going to make a huge difference.
Yeah, but it looks really good. It seems to me to be a very Goldman Sachs way of fixing a problem.
Though I would say that is true. To give him some benefit of the doubt, I like the idea of creating a membership department. I like the idea of like that being one of the really strong, explicit goals of the U.S. Soccer Federation. And I also think that he mentioned specifically that part of U.S. Soccer's responsibility is talent development, which is actually not something you necessarily hear from U.S. Soccer. Mm-hmm. U.S. Soccer has said that, hey, in some interviews, those folks have said, that's not necessarily our goal. Our goal is to have the national teams, you know, like, and that's a separate goal from actual youth development. I think that's somewhat underwhelming, and that maybe that is, if you think about like what his plan sounds the strongest and most thorough and most thought out, it is probably the structural stuff, and that may be because that's his strength. Mm-hmm. As he's admitted, he's not a soccer person, but he's a sort of like organizational leader.
Yeah.
And so the specifics of soccer, he does seem specifics of soccer development he just seemed lightest on.
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of strange to say, okay, here's my positions on all these things. My position is to create a committee to have a position. My position is to create a department to have a position. And so I think that allows us as fans and voters to sort of imagine the best possible outcome where, okay, like these committees that do not exist yet are obviously going to work in the best interest. But as a company, as an organization, the United States Soccer Federation doesn't really, and has proved not to act in the best interest of the fans.
I will say that, I mean, I was excited by that in as boring a way you can be excited by something, I'll admit, but you know, think about it. Like, who hired Jurgen Klinsmann?
Yeah.
And what's the thought behind that? Well, we don't actually really know. There's all this talk about like, oh yeah, Sunil Gulati kind of wanted him and da 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 da. And that's the kind of thing that, to me, like, I think Carlos Cordero is sort of saying with the undertone, or that's the undertone of this sort of thing, is that like so many decisions in U.S. soccer get made by the president, where you're not really clear who's in charge of that. Hmm. And so the restructuring is in that sense, I think, meant to counter a lot of that ambiguity and a lot of that, like, people making decisions who maybe are not entirely qualified to make that decision. Mm-hmm. And so it is kind of like a hurry up and wait problem now. We're like, oh, great. We've got Carlos Cordero. He's going to hire a new head of the technical department. But who is that? And what does that actually mean for soccer? Yeah. So now we're waiting to find out what that actually means for soccer. Mm-hmm. But the specifics aren't necessarily there, and it is kind of corporate Goldman Sachs-y, the positive side of that is that it is lining things up to be so that you have a clear understanding of who is making the decisions. And it's less of a sense that like it's being made by one person who maybe wants something and you're not really sure how qualified they are from a soccer perspective mm-hmm. to hire that coach or to set up the team that way.
Yeah. It also should be said that there will be a new vice president of U.S. soccer, because that would be the role that Cordero is leaving in order to take the president job.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So let's see here. I think it is kind of status quo, but I think it is a better version of that. And the positive side about it, I will say, is that it has some stability and some sense that like this guy is not going to F things up. Yeah. Like he knows how to spend the money. He's not going to go bankrupt, or not bankrupt, but he's not going to like blow through a $150 million budget having, you know, giving away, to your point, giving away a bunch of scholarships or a bunch of things which maybe aren't the most efficient way to spend that money. Having someone from the inside, I think, gives me a little more confidence that there is going to be some continuity and smart spend of resources.
Yeah, I'm just I'm looking at Twitter right now with the search Cordero, and I'd say 99% of these are really negative, and I think it's too soon to say that this is not like a Kathy Carter. This is not. I think maybe we're so disappointed in elections as a culture that, you know, and we're so like thirsty for real change that when this happens, all these old wounds start reopening, and now Cordero represents some sort of proxy nightmare of Trumpism. But that's that's a huge stretch, and I'm probably treading into deep water right now, and it doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. But whatever.
Yeah, I think I have the feeling too. Just I feel like as a it's so dumb to mix these worlds, politics and soccer. But I do feel like as a soccer fan, I have lost like any mm-hmm. sense of like predictability. Mm-hmm. Like, oh yeah, this will just happen. Good things will keep happening. Things will just keep progressing. That's been taken away from me. Mm-hmm. And I feel a similar way about elections in general. Like, oh yeah, people will probably make mostly good decisions. Yeah. And that sense of stability is gone. And so I, coming into this election, super anxious, which is why I said at the onset, I was like, I'm not even going to look at this election. It's going to drive me nuts until I know. I finished watching some games this morning.
Well, I think, sorry, can I just say something really quick? I think that for the people who watched the whole election, they probably feel worse about it than those who are reading about it now. Because watching it live was just like pulling teeth. Sunil Gulati kept making these awful, awful jokes.
Give us the best of the awful jokes.
Well, every time that there was a pause between the vote and the results being displayed on the screen, he would say, "Oh, bylaws stipulate that if the results don't show in a minute, then the incumbent maintains the seat." And then the second time that happened, he repeated the same joke except changed it to within 30 seconds, the incumbent keeps their seat. And both times, people applauded this joke. So,
Yeah, it's this particular world of corporate America where that is considered a joke.
yeah.
The word incumbent lives in a joke, and that people applaud a joke rather than laughing at it. Yes,
Yeah,
I think that's just says everything you need to know.
it's terrible. He like at one point was like, "Oh, you're out of order, ha ha ha! I've always wanted to say that," and then like had someone hand him a gavel that he could like bang and make the same joke, and he's like, "Oh, I just wanted to say that." It's like, man, you have no fucking awareness of how much this means to the people you serve. It was so awful. But so that was really annoying. And then there's a problem with the actual keypads that people were voting on, that they had to hit the number and then press send. But I think people were assuming that if they hit the number, it would automatically send. So they kept hitting the same number. So, that would make their vote null. So they had to redo the first round of votes. So that was really confusing. I forget what the man's name was, but he was there sort of to clarify all the rules and the processes, and he kept having to clarify Sunil's remarks or sort of slightly correct him. So by the time that the result was actually displayed, I had been watching this for 2.5 hours and I was so frustrated. Whereas I think if I would have had just woken up right now and read the results, I think I would have been much happier. But seeing at least for a little bit this morning, what it's like on the ground floor of the United States Soccer Federation, I was completely disenfranchised.
Is the was the did Carlos Cordero win the vote with the first set of votes,
No,
or did they have to retally?
it was the third round. So,
Okay.
yeah, he was winning in the first round by a few percentage points over Kathy Carter. Basically, it was like 34-32. I mean, I don't think the specific numbers are all that important. In the second round, he had climbed ahead a little bit more. Eric Winalda and Kyle Martino were closest. They both had about 10% of the vote each time. And then it was said,
Wow.
and it was said that some, I forget what block within the Carter vote changed to Cordero, between the second and third rounds, perhaps at the insistence of Kathy Carter herself. But pretty crazy.
Wow, that is really tight.
It's
And
yeah.
it's so, I guess, yeah, two thoughts come to mind. One, that's really tight, as you said, whatever it was, specifically 34, 32, something like that. And it, like, the other way around, and it's Kathy Carter president, more or less. Second, it's interesting that Winalda and Martito were so far behind, and
Yes.
the only other folks who
Yeah.
showed up there. It's really interesting because I think that it's hard as an outsider to know who's really qualified for this job, but Steve Gans, Michael Winograd seem like legitimately capable human beings. Like, if they were your boss, you'd probably be like, okay, he knows what he's doing,
Yeah.
right? And but they just didn't show up at all. And Martino and Winalda were sort of like these highest profile outsiders.
Yeah, Martino's speech was really good too. His was the only speech that was 100% coherent and emotional and made an appeal to the voters. It was good.
And Martino put like a ton of effort into his campaign. I think listening to some podcasts, he talked about that, like working, having sort of like a task force, maybe having some consultants. I mean, he probably spent more on his campaign, I'm guessing, than anyone else.
Yeah.
But you go to his website, his platform is like a PDF that's beautifully made. It's just, like he's pulling out all of the stops for this. And is a reasonably qualified candidate, I think,
Yes.
and only manages to get 10% of the vote. That said, so that makes me think that, like, if there is real change candidate kind of situation in the future that it's going to be such an uphill battle to break into U.S. soccer.
Yes.
And but maybe on the flip side is like this is one thing that Cordero's mentioned is that he wants to have more athletes involved in U.S. soccer in mm-hmm. positions of leadership. And so maybe in the next elections, as we have, as Cordero suggested, more departments, more involvement from athletes, there's actually a route for these people to advance within U.S. soccer.
Yeah, I think that'll be through the technical committee. I mean, everything that Cordero has said, that's what it seems like. Mm-hmm. So hopefully the technical committee will bring in some fresh blood. I hope it is not just a bunch of in-house promotions, as I said before, but yeah.
Yeah, I listened to a podcast with Kyle Martino. I think it was the Total Soccer Show, and I know that he said that he'd been working to reach out to all the other candidates and sort of befriend them and talk to them, and he was able to do so with everyone, I think, except for Cordero and Kathy Carter. Hmm. And so it makes me think about, like, well, I don't know what Cordero, who yeah. he's going to try to tab to, no pun intended, Mr. Ramos, tab to get to be more involved with decision making in U.S. soccer, but I don't know if it's going to be Martino.
I mean, it should be said that this election was swayed by the Athletes Council, who apparently voted as a bloc through all rounds, although that's unclear, and they supported Cordero, which was 20% of the vote.
Wow,
which is huge, right? Because
yes,
that makes the election. That 20% goes to Martino or Ronaldo, both ex players. It should be. I mean, that to me indicates. I trust Carlos Bocanegra. I trust Heather O'Reilly. I do not think that these people are going to vote for a candidate that they think is not in the best interest of youth development specifically. Clearly Cordero has assured them that there is space in the USSF for athletes going forward. I mean,
I will say though that I don't necessarily completely trust athletes for the best interests of youth, because athletes, in particular in the American soccer structure, MLS athletes are sort of fed this lie about I'm blanking on the name of the payments that go down to the youth academies that develop that are FIFA. What are these called? Do you know what I'm talking about? The FIFA sponsored. Are they parachute payments?
No, parachute payments are something else. That's media rights. Yeah. No, I can't think of it either, but
the Kellen Acosta is situation.
Yeah.
MLS players are sort of fed this idea that, like, and which is a very manipulative idea, I think, from the ownership and management inside MLS, which is that, like, hey, if when you sign a new contract, your original youth teams get a cut of that contract, you're making less money. Mm-hmm. That may be true in a closed system sense, but not in a real economy where if teams develop better players, players make more money. Mm-hmm. And if MLS just raises its salary cap and its limits, then players make more money. Mm. Ultimately, what keeps players from making money is MLS, right? Mm. Mm-hmm. That's what limits it. And so MLS seems to me to be using that as in this weird bargaining sense that happens a lot in other leagues where the small issues like this little payment that will get sent down to your youth teams becomes this thing where athletes don't want to budge on it, but really the big picture is that the whole league is limiting the amount of money that athletes can make, and that's absurd. So anyway, so there are some conflicting, there are some arguments about the athletes' interests which counter youth development, strangely, like these payments. And I could see how they might not be voting for the ways that I would want them to vote. And athletes do tend to vote for protecting their own interests, like everybody do, mm-hmm. whether that's feeling like, hey, they've earned something, they want to have something that rewards them and makes it harder for younger people to come and take their place. Mm-hmm. We see that in professional leagues. That's maybe different than U.S. Soccer Federation, but I do have some skepticism of athletes as a voting bloc, but. That said, the fact that they end up supporting Cordero is interesting because, there were early talk that they were going to support Kathy Carter, actually, right?
Yeah, it's crazy. But Actually, I don't really have anything else to say. I think that Bocanegra is perhaps an early candidate for one of these technical committee jobs based on the good work he's doing in Atlanta. And clearly, him and Cordero have spoken, and Cordero will want to sort of reciprocate his support in the election. But we'll see. That's my guess.
Yeah, I mean, crazy. So I've got the first round tallies here. I mean... Yeah, so it's amazing. 36-34, Cordero Carter. Winalda had 13.7%. Martino had 8.6%. Then next is Steve Gans at 4.1. Hope Solo at 1.6. Michael Winograd at 0.6. And Paul Caligari at 0.5%.
Crazy.
The next round, basically, Winalda lost some votes. And Steve Gans lost some votes, and Cordero jumped to 41, Carter 33, Winalda and Martino both around 10%, Steve Gans 2.4, Hope Silla 1.5. And then the last round, Hope Silla maintained her 1.5 pretty much the entire way, and then it was just Cordero had 68%, Kathy Carter dropped down to 10%, Martino kept his 10.6%, and Eric Winalda had 8.9%. So, yeah, it's a really interesting thing. Cordero ended up winning by taking votes from Carter, Winalda, and then the Steve Gans, Michael Winograd, Paul Caligari, those kind of folks. So,
I mean, this is like the never Trump people, but it's like the never Carter people. That this election, hearing that is like, it begins at least with anything but Carter.
Yeah, though you say that, but I mean, she still started with 35%. But yeah.
Yeah. Well, maybe we should wrap it up quickly, just so I could put this out. We'll have a real podcast later in the week, but we just wanted to get out a quick rapid fire reaction to the election, which I think in general, we were both saying, calm down, calm down, calm down.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it's more of it's more of the same, not in the sense of like, oh, just the same old dumb US soccer, but it's more in the same, in the sense of more waiting for US soccer fans. We're still waiting to see who Carlos Cordero is going to name to be the technical director. And how he's going to set up that technical department, how he's going to set up that membership department, how he's going to get more athletes involved. Those are like in positions of leadership. Those are like initial moves that you'd imagine would take place in the next 6 months. The longer term promises that he's made in his platform, the scholarships, the World Cup bids, all that kind of stuff way down the line. And obviously it takes forever to see changes in youth development. But we will be talking about that and watching that closely. So thanks for everyone for listening to our urgent podcast here. And
as good or bad,
keep the faith. Yeah, let's give Carlos Cordero a genuine chance to prove his worth, and let's be really critical of him. Let's keep the spirit that has come out of this total disaster from the U.S. men's national team and a general sort of atrophy in U.S. soccer. Let's keep that pressure on these people, and let's watch really carefully what changes actually get made.
All right.